In the early 1920s, more than 100 years ago, an event called the Teapot Dome Scandal broke out and captured the nation's attention. In this scandal, the Interior Secretary at the time, his name is Albert Fall, which is a great name based on what's going to happen. Albert Fall, he leased oil reserves from several locations, and one of them was the Teapot Dome in Wyoming. And leasing of the reserves, that was not that unusual at the time, but what was strange is that he leased them without any sort of competitive bid process and at unusually low prices. As the investigation continued, it was discovered that Secretary Fall took bribes in order to guarantee that the leases went to his favorite companies. He was convicted, and he became the first presidential cabinet member to go to prison. And up until the Watergate scandal many decades later, this was regarded as, quote, the greatest and the most sensational scandal in the history of American politics. The repercussions or the legacy of this scandal included all sorts of changes to our government, including a Supreme Court case that allowed Congress to compel or force people to testify if they were called upon as witnesses. It gave the U.S. House Committee on Ways and Means the ability to get anyone's tax records if they are under investigation. It beefed up the Federal Corruption Practices Act that regulated campaign finance law. But more than anything, it really captured how regular people of the time, just like me and you, how much they hated it when people in power accepted bribes, and how repugnant it was to the people at that time that someone would do that. People clearly see how bribery and corruption go hand in hand and how damaging the end result of that can be. But they weren't the first to point out how damaging this is. God, in his remarkable wisdom, had many things to say about receiving bribes and corruption. Let's go to one such instance in Exodus chapter 23, if you want to head back there. Exodus chapter 23. And in this chapter, again, Exodus 23, is right in the middle of several chapters outlining God's principles for how human beings need to interact with one another in order to have a functioning society. And is a whole context of scriptures that if Israel were to do these, they would be lifted up as a model nation. And other nations could look to them for inspiration on how to act with one another. Let's start right in verse 1 here to get some context. Exodus 23, verse 1. It says, "You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice." You can see how these principles are very applicable. "You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey, bring it back to them." Verse 6, "You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself from a false matter, and do not kill the innocent and the righteous, for I will not justify the wicked." And then verse 8, "You shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of righteous." Now, you can see how this fits into this context. If you were to take a bribe, you will at the very least be tempted to make a decision or a judgment that is not honorable. You will show partiality, or you would at least look favorably upon the one that offered the bribe versus the one that did not. And as we well know, God is very consistent from start to finish throughout the whole Bible that he hates partiality. So much so that he called us regular people to be part of his plan. He didn't need the one percenters of the world to do that. And in the same vein, God despises those that pervert judgment. Let's go to Amos chapter 5 and verse 6. Amos chapter 5 and verse 6. Amos 5, 6, it says, "Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Jacob and devour it, with no one to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to rest in the earth." Let's drop down to verse 12, same chapter, Exodus 5, now verse 12. "For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins." Okay, so what were the horrible things that the people were doing? "Afflicting the just and taking bribes, diverting the poor from justice at the gate. Therefore, the prudent keep silent at that time, for it is an evil time." So I think we can clearly see that receiving a bribe is a wholesale no-no. It's a bad idea. But what about giving a bribe? I mean, that's got to be the same thing, right? Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, let's go there. We'll start in verse 6. Proverbs chapter 17, starting in verse 6. It says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father." So these are positive things here. "Excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince." Verse 8. "A present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever he turns, he prospers." Now, wait a second. That kind of sounds like a bribe. And here, it's a present or it's a gift. In other scriptures we read, they say bribe. Well, maybe they're two different things or something like that. Except, this is the same word that is used in Exodus 23 we read earlier. It's the same thing. It's the same word further down in verse 23 of the same chapter, which is a negative admonishment for taking a bribe. Same thing. But here, it doesn't sound all that negative. In fact, it sounds pretty good. I would like to prosper wherever I turn, as a matter of fact. Let's go forward one chapter, Proverbs chapter 18 this time. Proverbs 18, we'll start in verse 15 of Proverbs 18. It says, "The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge." It's a great thing. "And the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Verse 16. "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." That also kind of sounds like a positive thing. All right, one more example. Just one more chapter forward again. Proverbs 19 now. And we'll read just a single verse, just verse 6, Proverbs 19, verse 6. It says, "Many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts." Now, there are several Hebrew words here that all kind of mean the same sort of theme. But it seems like whenever it is translated into a positive sense, it says present or gift. When it's in the negative, it's translated bribe, but it's the same words. So what is it? Is a bribe good or bad? Is it just receiving a bribe that is a problem, but giving one is okay, or maybe even something that is to be desired? Well, in thinking about this, I was reminded of a child-rearing class that we did over a decade ago. I think the Hoyers did it with us, called Growing Kids God's Way. And in that program, it had several principles about raising your children in a godly way and different strategies that you could use when you're bringing up your children. And in that program, they had a section reinforcing the idea that you never bribe your children. So if you've had children, you know exactly how this works. You're in the car going somewhere and you say, "All right, we're going over to the Kors house. I want everyone to be on their best behavior. I want you to make eye contact. I want you to talk, and I want you to be respectful. And if you do, we'll go get ice cream afterwards." That is a bribe. That's in many different situations. It's an easy trap to fall into. The Growing Kids God's Way lesson reiterated that if you're bribing someone, it takes you down the wrong path. You should avoid it. But it also says that giving your kids gifts from time to time for doing good behavior, well, that's a good thing. And I remember thinking, isn't that the same thing? Is one man's bribe another man's gift? Well, the Cultural Background Study Bible, that's one of my go-to resources, it had several pieces of insight on this topic. And on one section talking about if bribes were good or bad, it made this comment, quote, it says, just like with a timely word, it depends on the circumstances. If a bribe is used to circumvent justice, then it is evil. If a bribe is used to open doors for a good purpose, then it is appropriate. And that child rearing lesson, it pointed out that when you set forth a reward, if your children does what you ask, well, that's a bribe. And that's because eventually they're doing it just for the reward, not because you ask them to do it. But if you ask them to do it, and every now and then you give them a treat for doing it, then that is a gift. If you do it too regular, it changes from a gift to a bribe, so there's a lot of gray area there. But applying the similar logic to our topic on hand, a couple of points became clear. When you take a bribe, it is impossible for that not to factor into your judgment of a situation. By its very nature and by its existence, your perception has changed. You can try very hard not to be a respecter of persons, but the Bible has shown that that is very hard to do. You've allowed corruption to enter into your thinking process. And regardless of how clean and independent you try to be, there will always be a stain on that decision. Taking a bribe is always the wrong behavior. Likewise, giving a bribe or a gift or whatever you want to call it, if the motivation is to persuade judgment, or to have the receiver circumvent justice or rules or regulations or policies or whatnot, you likewise have contributed to a behavior that godly greatly displeases. You share in the stain on that decision-making process. However, if the gift is to open doors or to facilitate opportunities or to make connections or to be friendly, or other transactions that fall outside the ones discussed, the Bible does indicate that this is acceptable, and in some cases, desirable. Like many principles outlined in the Bible, the intent behind an action also matters a great deal. Well, I want to finish with one more proverb, again, just one chapter forward for where we left off. Proverbs chapter 21 now. We'll read verse 14. Proverbs 21, starting in verse 14, it says, a gift in secret pacifies anger, and a bribe, that's our same word here, and a bribe behind the back likewise pacifies strong wrath. God has given us the principles to make wise decisions. When a gift or a present is used to influence or corrupt judgment in any way, then we are to stay very far away from it, both on the giving and on the receiving side. In fact, we are to run away from even the perception of such a thing. But if a gift or a present is used to open doors or grant opportunities that did not exist, and that does not pervert the judgment or justice or the decision-making process, then we might find it a useful tool in our belt. So does the Bible condemn bribes? Yes, with an asterisk. And we can use the wisdom and discernment to distinguish between negative bribes and positive gifts so that we can be a right and proper example for all of those around us.